Hello and welcome back to Ola Bonjour Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey. How are you, Audrey?
Hey, hey, all good, all good. How are you?
Good, good. How was your week? How was your bank holiday?
Well, it was good. Hugh went to the pictures for the first time
Oh,
on
good.
Saturday. We saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was actually very
The Rosanna
good.
Half
And
Shell.
we went at 10 a.m. Because I wasn't sure I'd ask for a bit of advice during the week because I knew Hugh wouldn't be able to not talk for the whole film. There was no one there. There was like us and two other families, and the other families had small kids as well.
Brilliant.
It was perfect. He sat totally quietly and very, very well for the first 45 minutes. I was impressed. And even then, he just was getting a bit twitchy. He was kind of mooching about a bit, but he still watched the movie. He still enjoyed it. He had a great time. So we did that on Saturday, and then literally Sunday, Monday was doing what I have to do at least once a year, which is I get a big skip and I offload all the fucking stupid things that I've bought in the previous 9 months, 8 months, whatever, all go into a skip before Christmas comes and I buy in a whole load more.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I purge once a year. We jump up, we get the skip, and we jump. And that's what we did. That's what we were doing all weekend.
Lovely, lovely.
How about you? How'd you get on?
Well, I had a great weekend. So I went back up to Dungarvan. I go to Dungarvan every Saturday for my weigh-in. And I was down 2 pounds. And I went, you know what? Aren't I fantastic, right? So I said, I came home. So I was in three counties to make it short on one day, right? Came home to Cork. I said to my husband and my son, I was like, come on, into the car, we go for a spin. So we just headed off, and I said, you know what, let's go to Killarney. So I got a mad notion, we went down to Kerry. And then, of course, because I thought I was unreal and I deserved a medal for losing 2 pounds, I was like, you know what, I'm going to have a McDonald's, right? Which is fine, you can have a McDonald's when you're calorie counting and all, right? But what I normally do is I would have like a McChicken sandwich, you know, something kind of bold, but not too bold, right? But this time, whatever happened to me, I don't know, was it the spin from Dungarvan to Killarney or what? And I was hanging, I was like, oh, do you know what I'd murder now? Not even a quarter pounder with cheese, Audrey. A double quarter pounder with cheese,
Oh,
right?
you were dicing with danger there.
Oh, was I what? Was I what? So, and did I just have it? No, I'll have the grande, por favor, large, and a McFlurry. But anyway, so that was grand, right? Fine. Then, we met my sister-in-law as well down there, and I didn't realize that she was after putting on a barbecue. So,
Oh, God.
yeah, so yeah, I had to have a little pick there as well. So, when I was driving home over the county bounds, I was like, oh no, I feel very ill.
Did you leave little souvenirs behind you?
I almost did. There's a new bypass after opening there in Macroom, and I was like, come here, don't bother with the Lord Mayor coming down to open this. Like, I said, I can do a little ceremony here, but I didn't. But I swear to Audrey, it was beyond like a vomiting bug. Like, so I knew when I got home, so I thought, oh my God, food poisoning or something. And it's going, can't be from McDonald's. Like, can't be, can't possibly be. But anyway, this went on and it was fine. Went off to work the next day. And then Sunday afternoon, I was literally driving home from work and I got these pains. And genuinely, I would take childbirth and contractions
Wow.
10 times more than this. And I'm not, now I know now I'm not actually a hypochondriac, right? But I've a high kind of pain barrier. So I wouldn't be saying this lightly, right? But I have no gallbladder. Like 3 years ago, Gary left us, God rest his soul, right? I got him removed because he was causing me hassle with gallstones, right? So he's gone. So I was like, what's the problem? The pain was worse than like having gallstones, and I was doubled over. And I'd said, I actually had to pull in. I was driving home and I said, I'm gonna have to ring my husband, tell him he's gonna have to drive up and collect me.
Jesus.
Then remembered that our other car literally
Oh,
fell apart on me, so that's in fucking
RIP,
mechanics. So I have
yeah.
no car, right? So I was, Jesus Christ. So anyway, made it home. I was literally curled up in a ball, and I was like, even he was saying, you're gonna have to go to A&E. I was like, I am not going to A&E on a bank holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Cork Pride was on. Like, it would have been, oh, chaotic, which is all wrong as well, because there are people that, you know, genuinely are very, very sick and will not go to hospital over the state of it. Like, but so I did the typical Irish thing and I was like, do you know what? Now give me two paracetamol and I'll go down and lay down for an hour. So I did, and it went away. 3 hours later, back again, I was like, what is this like? But anyway, because I'm such a trooper, I powered on and I went to bed, and like that now it just went away. But I was talking to people, and they were people that have had their gallbladders removed, And this is what they don't tell you. They were like, oh my God, do you take like these gallbladder enzyme tablets and all? And I was like, sorry? I was like, what? And they're like, oh, you know, after you get your gallbladder out, if you eat kind of greasy foods or anything. Now, just to clarify, right? Yeah, when I got my gallbladder out, the doctor was like, oh, you know, try not to eat greasy foods, you know, because it'll play havoc. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I like to test the boundaries, okay? But like, obviously, quite clearly, since I'm on a calorie counting journey, I've been eating shit for the past 3 years. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Not a bad
Your body
on me.
Must have been like in a total state of shock. It was just like, what the hell is going on?
I'd say because like for the past 2 weeks, I've been eating fairly well. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And cooking food and not having takeaways, all this choice, whatever. But anyway, but like people had gotten on and they were like, oh, you know, you can get these gallbladder enzyme tablets that you take and all this stuff. And I was like, why don't they tell you that when you come out of hospital? Like,
They just sent off
out near Mary Way. But anyway, that passed. That was grand. But I was in three counties and dying for the whole weekend. And that was it. That was my weekend. It was very eventful. Wouldn't say very delightful, but you look at it. It is what it is. But I suppose on that subject of wellness, which I wasn't very well. How are you getting on? Are you back walking and all that? Or?
No, I tell you, I did a great week. The week before last, I walked every single day of the week. Mm. Last week, I walked once. And because I was tired, I was kind of tired.
Yeah, but that's all right as well. You can't be doing it all the time, like.
Well, I felt tired and little things I let creep back in. Like, I buy stuff, not for me, but I buy for Hugh. But last week, I'd be like, so it'd be like a Danish little pastry, whatever. Oh, he'd only have a bite of it, sure, I'll eat the rest.
Yeah.
Last week, I had similar to you, actually. No, not as bad. But I was eating bits of crap. I was just kind of forgetting the rules, getting a bit cocky, kind of going, you know, oh, sure, I'm a skinny bitch now. Like, I can do what I like. And my stomach is still not the better for it. Like, I still don't feel right. Even with the walking, not doing the walking and stuff. Well, the guilt, I did feel guilty for not doing the walking. I was allowing myself the excuse of the rain, but I have an actual treadmill downstairs. I could do it and watch the soaps at the same time. Like,
I find? I have the treadmill as well upstairs, but I use it as the clothes hanger, right? But I find the treadmill is just, you get all sweaty. Like, it's like,
I don't like it. And you hop it's on so and boring, off it. Like I'd be all over the place.
My legs are like jelly when I come off the treadmill because I'm sure I think I'm fecking unreal. Like, so I'm like, and I keep pressing the button until I'm nearly running. And then when I stop, my legs are like, probably because I don't do the slow down, whatever. Like, who cares? But like,
and I don't know about yours, but mine is on an incline. So,
oh God, put that back down. You can set that to go down flat. Yeah. Oh no, don't be getting ahead of yourself at all. Like, no.
So, no, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But what I did do, because I was literally tired every single day, like exhausted, tired, just not in the humor doing anything. Like, I think it's one of the reasons I was nearly glad we had to skip because it kind of ruled out having to do anything else. I was like, we're just going to do this clear out. But I booked in, so I'm actually going to go tomorrow. I've booked myself in for a bit of like an MOT, a bit of an NCT type thing, where I'm going to get all my bloods taken, just get my stats done. Because, you know, I had a major operation just over 2 years ago and I came out and I recovered. But even in terms of like a surgical menopause and stuff like that, they slapped an old HRT patch on me and we never really revisited the situation at all ever since. And only like last week with the tiredness and stuff, I was like listening to a few other podcasts actually and just seeing a few people talk about stuff online. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in and get all the bloods checked. Do the whole little mini health check and just see, do I need anything tweaked? Is there anything that I could be improving? I know whether it be diet or supplements or whatever, because I shouldn't be as tired as I am. I really shouldn't. Yeah, I could go to bed earlier. There are things I could do better, but they don't explain the level of tiredness. Now, last week I was just wrecked every single day, exhausted, not in the humor of anything. So I'm going to go, I'll let you know how I get on. I don't know how quickly I get results back, but I'm going to go have the little MOT. Probably these things usually take about 2 weeks, and then I'll come back on and I'll give you the
harm to do that every year or two, isn't it? Just everyone should really do it. Just go in and get, as you said, an NCT done on yourself, like, just to make sure
some
everything
people
is
I never have either, actually. No, well, I did years and years ago. I'm about 10 years ago. I did pay for a private thing over at the Mater Hospital. And I think at the time it was about €400 or €500. It was a full day of all sorts of tests. And I do remember being absolutely fascinated by it afterwards. The results, but what was really interesting, I found that report when, God, I'm going down memory lane here because I was actually sharing my story again on Instagram over the weekend. Maybe that had triggered me some PTSD. But I, for anyone that doesn't know, in 2017, I had a miscarriage. And then a couple of days later, I was told that I had severe glandular abnormalities, cervical abnormalities. And I ended up going in, having a couple of lets, blah, 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 blah. I already told you, I ended up having a hysterectomy. So that's skipping a whole lot. But in 2017, I remember going, my last smear test was clear. And the one before that was clear. And the ones that I had before that, one was done privately and it was done through the matter, and the other one was done publicly, and they had both come back clear as well. But when I read through the entire report with new vision, so in 2017, when I read back that report from 2013, it was going on about like white blood cell count, which indicated that your body was fighting some kind of like illness or whatever. And
really?
As I look back on it all, yeah, and with the knowledge that I again had in 2017, it's possible that my body was actually fighting something, that those smear tests were incorrect, because glandular cervical abnormalities are much harder to detect through standard smear. They're really difficult to detect, and it's possible that you do get a false clear reading where actually you may be positive. So it was on hindsight, now looking at that 2013 report in 2017, it's possible that I had had a problem that was brewing there for a long time that had gone undetected through standard screening process. Yeah. So it's interesting to see. So anyway, this, maybe all of that prompted me to go do it again. So I'm just going to go do a little MOT on myself. And
well, do you know what? Just as you were saying that there, I literally put in my phone that I need to ring the doctor tomorrow because I'm actually due my smear test. I'm actually overdue to get my smear test, which normally I never am. Because I had CIN3 as well before, years and years ago, like, and they've all been clear since. But this is the first time I'm religious in getting them on time. And I actually, and I'm a good couple of months late with it. Like, and I didn't even realize it, because they don't send you reminder letters or anything. It was just the other day I went, Jesus, when am I due that? And I went on the website to check, and I'm due it ages ago. Like, so thanks for bringing that up now, because I'm actually going to go and make my appointment tomorrow, because it's so important to get those smear tests as well.
It's so important.
So important.
Actually, if anybody is listening that isn't aware, you can just go on the website and log in with your PPS number and find out, you'll get your date as to when you're due your next cervical screen. And I actually used to use the website. A lot of my problems occurred when the cervical check scandal was unfolding in the media. And as you remember, it resulted in like a huge outpouring of people booking in for appointments. And then there was the system basically crashed under the weight of the amount of the demand. And I used to use the portal to find out what my results were, because I knew that when I logged into the portal, if it said that I was to return for testing in 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever the case may be, I knew then that it had either returned a positive margin or an inconclusive margin. Yeah. If it was clear, it would have come up to tell me that I didn't need to return for a screening for another 3 to 5 years. So I used to use the portal as an indicator as to, before I'd even get the call from the doctor, I used to know from the portal what the results were, because there was huge delays in the doctors actually coming back to me with the results.
Well, at that time there would have been, wouldn't there?
Oh, it was awful. It was really, I remember I was supposed to go in for a procedure and around Halloween 2018, and up until the day before Halloween, they couldn't bring me in to prep me for surgery because my results were just completely missing. And they ended up bringing me later on that evening to say they'd finally got the results, but it was too late. I had missed my surgery date.
Oh, for God's sake.
It was just an awful time. Really awful time. But anyway, the key message here is look after your health, because nobody else is going to look after it for
you. And especially, I know our listeners are probably in around the same age as us, but you know, for younger people as well, that, you know, you get your smear test from when you're 25 or whatever. Some people have such a terrible fear of going in to get your smear test. Like, honest to God, like GPs and all, they've seen a million fannies. That your fanny is no special, isn't that?
No,
you know what I mean?
They won't even remember.
They won't even remember it. They don't care what's going on down there. There's no mortification with it. Just it's not sore at all. It's a little bit uncomfortable, right? But that's it, and it's over in seconds, minutes, maybe max. So I would highly, highly, highly urge, if there is anyone listening that needs to get it done, just go away and make the appointment and get it done, because it's no harm to give another reminder as well, the odd time.
Well, if you catch something early enough, it can be as simple as a little leap or less procedure, and that's all that you need, and you move on with the rest of your life without any complication. Like, to catch, if you keep on top of your screening and you catch something early enough, it can be very, very simple.
Audrey, I remember I got my first smear test, I think, when I was 21. And I don't know if I tell you this before, it was pure fluke. I was in the doctor for something else, and I don't know, does she have time on her hands or what? And she goes, did you ever get a smear test? I went, no. And she goes, hop up there and I'll do it. And I was only 21, so you're not supposed to get your smear test until you're 25,
I think.
It was 25, and it was just, I often think back and I go, my God, what if she didn't do that? You know what I mean? Because my results came back CAN3 and I had to go and get the colposcoscopy and the LETs and all this, right?
Yeah.
I was going, if she didn't do that, I never would have gone until I was called when I was 25. Do you know what I mean? I never would have thought of going for a smear test. But I just always think back in that and go, Jesus, wasn't that very strange? The way she just went, she could get it done. Go on, hop up there and I'll do it.
You were lucky, you're in the right place at the right time. I remember going to see my own GP. I was about 27, I think. And he said, have you ever had a cervical smear? And of course, I was always a bit prudish and I was immediately embarrassed, even at the thoughts that he was my family doctor. How dare he even talk about my vagina, my lady bits like that? I was like, oh God, no. But a girl that I used to pal around with as a kid, she had passed away from cervical cancer just a couple of months earlier. She was only 25. She'd started her family young. There are some things that can increase your chances of possibly having some abnormalities. And one is girls that have started their family that little bit younger, they can be at an increased risk of there being abnormalities. And that girl had 3 kids, I think, by the time she was 25. But by the time she was diagnosed, she was already gone. She was terminal almost immediately. And she'd only passed away. And I remember him saying, have you had a cervical smear? And I was like, oh God, no, like, how dare you mention such a thing? And he was so angry because he would have been her GP also. And he was like, do you want to end up like such and such? And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I wasn't expecting him to say that. I got an awful fright, but sure, who would have known that I actually would have ended up in the very same... I didn't go then. And actually, I got annoyed at him for upsetting me and for everything else. And sure, there I ended up in it. Not thankfully. Thankfully, not in the same situation, but with a similar condition of abnormal cells. But anyway, Jesus, all the reason I got thinking all about health was one, the little bit of PTSD that I gave myself over the weekend by recounting my tale again. And also, I came across this guy, Dave showed me, his name is Brian Johnson, and he's like a tech billionaire. And he has currently spent $2 million in a year using himself as a human guinea pig.
In one year.
Yeah, he spent $2
he's
million.
Not the full Bob, Audrey.
Oh, no, he's not. He's very obsessive, right? But this guy, in his teens and 20s, was crazy. Like, he was a money kid. Like, you know, he came from
party
money
boy,
and he was
like,
mad into the party boy lifestyle, the drugs, the sex, the whole lifestyle, all of that kind of stuff. And he nearly could have killed himself any number of times with his lifestyle. And then he kind of hit 30, and I don't know whether he had a near-death experience or something, but he kind of went, what am I doing? Like, so he's become a little bit obsessed now with his health, his well-being, and staying alive, where he's completely obsessed with staying alive for as long as possible. So now he's about 45, and there recently he spent $2 million, because as he says it, he has the money to spend, okay? It's his pet project. His logic behind this is he's using himself as a human guinea pig, undergoing all manner of kind of, he loves data and analytics, so he puts himself through all these different kind of experiments, and then he with a whole medical team, and then they look at the results and they see what did work, what didn't work, what made a difference, what doesn't make a difference. So some of the things that he had done was he goes to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Same.
I think 8 o'clock in the evening he goes to bed. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Same.
He only eats between 6 and 11. His last meal is at 11.
In the morning, 11 in the morning?
Yeah. He believes that you should allow your body like as much time possible to digest all that food in order to get a restful sleep. Now he takes a whole barrage of supplements. Like, he's nearly on space food. Like, he has no sugar whatsoever. Like, there's whole food groups that he just cuts completely out of his diet. He tries to reduce his, he knows that you need some exposure to sunlight for vitamin D, and he almost has it timed perfectly, like to the amount of sunlight that you should get to just give you enough vitamin D, but not like, he would think about like aging skin cancer and all that kind of stuff. So he put himself through all these tests. He's extremely fit. His sleep, you know, your sleep score on Fitbit, like mine is usually like 70 something. Sometimes I get the odd over 80 and I'm delighted. His score is 100% every single night, right? Every night. Then he got talking about this HRV. Now, I've spoken here about my resting heart rate, which I was delighted I got down from like 68 to 59. I never even looked at HRV and I didn't know what it was.
I don't know what it is. You'd have to explain what that is.
Well, it's actually like, it'd be more an indicator of your actual physical fitness, okay? Mm. So by rights, if you're particularly fit, the higher the score, the better.
Oh, mine will be humongous, score. I'd say.
Oh, I never knew what mine was. And oh, it's so accurate that I got an awful shock, right? So for start now, mine, I had a few days where I was really doing body slams 100% and my score might have gone into the 50s, maybe late 50s, right? That was my top score. My average score does be around 40. And last week, remember the Monday, I think we were chatting and I just felt like absolute rubbish, total crap. And I looked and my score was like 29. And I was like, 29, Jesus. And when it read it, it said, this is a sign that like your body is in distress, that you are, oh yeah, like that you're feeling unwell. And I was like, oh my God, it's so right. It was so right that day. I was in bits all day long. Now, loads of things can be a factor, a lack of sleep, you know, just generally being unwell. Like if you had a cold or a flu or just generally unwell. Stress, anxiety, worry, all those things would see your score go right down. And I was looking at my score and I started going back on my history and looking at particularly low scores and the particularly high scores. And actually, I was looking at going, that's the day that happened, or that's the day that whatever happened. The score was so correct.
But where did you get that score? On your Fitbit, is it?
It's on your Fitbit. Like, yeah, it's in
yeah,
the
see, app. I have a bloody Android thing, so I don't know
what happened. Well, still calculate it. It might still have it, like, but it was exactly right. So I'm into this now. I want to get the HRV at least into leveling out at about 60, because apparently you should be about 60 if you're in good nick. You should 60 is a lower end good nick. 100 would be, wow, you're running a marathon. So I'm like 40. So I was like, oh my God.
It's not your heart rate. No, not your heart rate.
No, heart rate variability is what it is. Hang on, HRV. I get it for you now, but
no, I can't find it. But I'm going to start. I'm going to look into this now and check mine, because I don't think my score would be very good.
But it was so right. It was so correct.
Was it?
Yeah. When my low days, I was like, wow, that day I did feel like shit. Like I was completely on the floor with tiredness. So I kind of start. I would be into. I've said this before. I'm kind of into data and analytics and stuff like that. Like so. Not like your mom. I'm not going to start going to bed at like 8, getting up at 6.
But he has no life. I'm sorry. If he doesn't eat, but what's the point of it if you're not going to live a life? Do you know what I mean? He's only 45.
Oh, yeah. So what he is right now, as he says, he is an experiment right now. He's given up his life right now to this experiment. So he has no social life. If you look at him, he almost looks vampire-like. His skin is like white and kind of waxy. Now, his body is lean. Like, and this is not about appearance, by the way. This isn't like... how do you look?
Yeah.
18. But his biological age now is that of an 18-year-old. His health and fitness levels, his sleep and everything else, he's scientifically tested to have the biological age of an 18-year-old, and he's 45. So I don't need to be, I'd be just happy to be my own age. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd be just happy to be where you're supposed to be.
Do you know what I mean? Go in and get a bit of Botox, like, or something. You'd be grand. Fuck that.
So he is obsessed, but he and his son actually, now he's gone even further again. He now gets injections, plasma injections of his son's blood, and his son is 18. So he's getting like these like plasma transfers.
What?
Yeah.
That's like child abuse. I don't know if the child is 18, so it's not technically like, but...
Well, I watched a few of the videos and the kid is in the videos and he's like, well, for him, it's crazy because when he was growing up, his dad was a terrible father because he was just wild and a party boy and wasn't around. Then, I don't know, the dad obviously had some kind of spiritual awakening and realized the error of all his ways and became a good dad, but an obsessive one. And now the dad is like almost as if he's trying to undo damage. Like he's like, now I need to be fit and healthy and be around for as long as possible to... Like it's like he obviously has a lot of hang-ups, but yeah. He has made himself a guinea pig and he is investing all this money because in the hopes at the end that the average Joe, so me or you that doesn't have $2 million to spend, they will have figured out which of all these experiments gives you the biggest bang for your buck. So should we all just be going to bed at 8 o'clock at night? And that's what my question with you was going to be, how much would you be prepared to give up, not for appearance, but for... to improve your physical health. So if they said, if you go to bed at 8 o'clock every night, you'll shave 5 years off your biological age, would you do that? Like if they said, if you eat all your meals between 6 and 11 a.m., you'll take 10 years off your biological age, would you do that? Like how much of a sacrifice is too much of a sacrifice, like that, if you're saying, but then you couldn't really partake in normal society or like normal social activities. So where do you draw the line? So he's got to figure out what works, what doesn't work, what has the biggest impact. And then it's up to everybody else to say, cherry pick, kind of, well, I might do the sleep thing, but I'm not going to eat my meals between.
But that's the thing. I don't think, being realistic, the age I'm at, I'd love to go to bed at 8 o'clock every night like this. Audrey, yeah. Love it. Love it. I swear to God, I'm turning into such an old granny, right? Like your man, I'm having a spiritual awakening, or I'm having some sort of midlife crisis, right? But I go to bed at maybe, because Charlie's on summer holidays, right? He stays up until about 8:30, right?
So he's half the reason you're staying up late.
Yeah, like he's slowing me down, like he's holding me back. If I'd my way, I'd be in bed now at 7:30, like. But so I go up with him, like, and what happens then? Sure, I'm like inside the bed. But that's how I'm managing to get up, like at 5 o'clock, because I no more get up at 5 o'clock to go for a walk. Do you know what I mean? So I set my alarm for, well, I do the snooze, you know, I set my alarm for 5 o'clock and 5:10, get up at 5:10. And if I'm out then on the road for 5:45, I give myself an hour, because I'm normally fannying around on Instagram. Like, if I stopped on Instagram, it could be quicker. And then come home, have your shower, breakfast, blah, 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 and off to work then, like. And I feel so much better for it, which I never thought I would say, because I'm not a fucking exercise person at all. And I remember at the start, when we started this podcast and you were doing your walks and you were saying it's so much easier in the morning. And I was going, I always go in the evenings. And since I started in the mornings, I'm going, what was I doing all along? Like, because at least you can relax after work and go to bed at 7:30, like your man. So I'm going to shave 5 years off my life. But no, I wouldn't.
To bed late enough, like probably 8 or thereabouts, which is probably late, I think, for his age. I don't know. But I just need that time to just, like, I've been in work all day and looking after Hugh, because we kind of juggle him about in the afternoons. And then when he goes to bed, the house has been bit. So I do a little bit of tidying, enough to make it look like I haven't been burgled. And then I just want to sit there and scroll my phone and watch the soaps. And so, like,
now there are days like that that you have to, like, you know, flick through Netflix and while you're on your phone, do you know what I mean? Like, but most days now, I find I'd be upstairs then. And what I start to do now is, because I was a fecker for like being inside in bed and scrolling TikTok. That's the worst bloody app.
I know,
that was ever
I
created.
Do it all,
like,
the time.
But you could be on it for hours, like you just go down a rabbit hole. But so I'm trying out to, I said that last week, to have the phone off at 10 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. But sure, look, we'll see how long that lasts. But I noticed this morning when I went out, it was actually so dark this morning. It was the first morning that I thought, oh my God, am I up an hour early? But it was so dark and I was like, oh,
it's becoming autumn already.
Like,
and
Halloween.
You're wearing the plaid check shirt, and I'm like, I've got me fluffy.
Your fleece on. But it was, I was like, oh my God, this is lovely. Happy Christmas. But but do you know what? Before we know it, though, the kids are going to be back to school. Like, it's literally, they're down to weeks now. Like, only, like, I think Charlie's back there on, I don't know. He's back like the 29th or the 31st, I think, of August. But I know this year as well with school, just to touch on that as well. So next year, I have to apply for school places for Charlie. He has another year now in early intervention preschool. So that's grand for this year. But from this September, October, I can apply for him to get a place next year. You know, so this is the thing with autistic children. It's not as easy as, you know, like, probably, like, if you wanted Hugh to go to the school down the road from you could enroll him, and more than likely there probably wouldn't be an issue with getting him in. Whereas, because there's only like the 6 places in the autism classes, I'd say, like, everyone before me that I know that has been applying for places, it's going to be tough. Obviously I'd love him to go, love him. The ideal situation would be for him to go into the school that he's in now, because his preschool is attached to a school.
Right.
Whether that'll happen or not, it depends on spaces. But
Do they decide? Is it first come, first served?
Well, like you know, all different schools as well, I suppose. It's well, if they have the space first. So if they don't have the space, they just don't have the space, because there's only 6 spaces. Then it would go then on, you know, if you have a sibling in the school,
right?
If you're
a child
of a teacher, maybe, things like that. And for us, it's not great because Charlie's our only child as well. So we don't have a sibling in the school. Right? So we're kind of bumped down the list. So I literally now was, the other day I sat down and I have my notebook with all my notes and stuff. And I have 29 schools to apply for. That's just in around my area. where's like reasonable for me to go to. And then I have to apply to the rest of Cork.
Oh wow.
Like I could be going anywhere, like, and it could end up being like, that's like, I live in East Cork, and it could be someone bringing me and saying, okay, well, there's a place for him in North Cork, which would be 2 hours away, and right, I'll have to put him on a bus.
Jesus, no.
Do you know what I mean? But this is the state of things. Like, it's just so awful, and I swear to God, my nerves are at me for the past year about this as it is. So now I'm like, right, let September come, let October come, let me apply and just find out. But the problem then as well is that people have said to me, you might not find out if you have a place until next August, you know, a week or two before he's going into school, which is so bloody unfair. Like,
yeah,
it's so, so unfair. But I'm not the only one. I mean, there's people that have had to homeschool their kids, or it's an absolute disaster. So that's something I'm not looking forward to now this year. And I know as well with the Autism Buddy Club, I've been talking to other parents as well who, you know, their kids are looking for a place for this September. And now a lot of them did get sorted, but they were left fairly last minute.
Until now, sure, in August.
There was a couple, until about now. But like, I mean, if they're applying in September, October, they should let you know by about December. And
yeah, well, even early into the new year. Jeez.
But it's very, I mean, as time goes by, you're like, what am I going to do? Like, so that's one thing. And anyway, I'll be totally honest, I'm absolutely bricking out about it, and my nerves are gone from it, and I'm a complete warrior.
I'd say
I have a second hernia or an ulcer or something after this. But that's what I'm not looking forward to. I'm all for Halloween, I'm all for into the future and Christmas and all, but once I get that settled, but that's just another look. I'm not the only parent, do you know what I mean? This is what all, you know, autism mammies and daddies have to deal with, unfortunately. But I just do think sometimes they go, do you know what, it's so bloody unfair. Like, I had Charlie's name down in the school when he was 12 days old. I had his name down in the local school, and he was guaranteed a place. But because now he has been diagnosed with autism, sorry, no, we don't have room in the class. So it's like,
we can't, we try to put Hugh's name down for a few schools around here. They won't take them. They won't take them until the January of the academic year.
Are you serious?
I'm lying
here.
So I can't apply until January for the schools that I want to put Hugh in until the September.
For like junior infants?
Yeah.
Oh God, no, down here. Like, if you go on the school's website, it tells you what year to apply for. Like, we can apply up to 2026.
No, we're like blocked out. You can only apply
To move to Cork. You need to move to Cork.
Because I have a few, we're lucky, there's a good few schools around here, but I have my eye on two in particular.
Yeah.
And I've written to them. I write to them every year anyway, on the back of the same email. So at least they'd be like, well, look, she's been interested in our school for so many years. But you can't apply. There may be some schools are different, but the ones I've written to, I have to wait until January of the academic year. Yeah, to put his name down.
That's weird. I don't know why that is. But anyway, look, let's move on to more lighthearted subject. That's a worry for future, Lorna. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So you were on about today. Oh, come here. Ariana Grande. Tell people the buzz with her and her new fella.
Now, I wouldn't know too much about Ariana Grande, I'll be honest, other than she's the one with the big high ponytail and the beautiful eyes.
And do you know what I find? I don't know what she's singing about, Audrey. Every time she comes out, she's like,
managed to slip in an old Christmas song. So she'll be rich forever now. Yeah. She has a Christmas song. So she'll be sorted. Santa baby.
Audrey, that's what we need to do.
I know. Release Christmas singles.
Yeah, we start writing that.
Anyway, it turns out Ariana Grande has a tendency to prefer men that are already attached to another woman.
Pussy.
I know. And like,
what
I know,
a dorky bitch.
You might say, oh, well, now look, it's the fellas that are attached. Well, in this particular instance, they were both attached, Ariana and her new love interest, who is a guy called Ethan Slater. Ethan Slater was SpongeBob SquarePants in Broadway, the musical. And they met actually when they were both in Wicked. They had two various roles in Wicked. I think they met around 2021, the end of 2021. Or was it 2020? But the following year, Ariana Grande got engaged to a different guy, not Ethan. Ethan married his childhood sweetheart. They were together like 10 years. They only had a little baby about a year ago. And apparently they've been having a bit of a fling. They're being quite sloppy about this fling, as in if they were on tour or if they were at an event, holding hands, kissing, not really caring who saw them. She separated first, and then he told his wife, childhood sweetheart, person they're together from school, from high school, sorry, it's all over. And so she was devastated about that, but she didn't understand that he had taken up with Ariana Grande. And the reason it came as a complete shock to her and Ariana Grande's ex-husband is that apparently both couples had like socialized together.
While they were having the affair, is it?
Well, this is it. Like, so, Ethan, this March of this, or whenever they have Mother's Day, it's at a different time in the US, actually. But whenever Mother's Day was on, Ethan put up a post wishing his wife a happy Mother's Day and all the rest. And Ariana Grande liked that post. She liked the post that he made in tribute to his then wife. And it's very possible that during that time, they were actually having an affair. So Ariana Grande is a sneaky snake.
Raisin.
Yeah.
Well, she did the same with Pete Davidson, didn't she, as
this
well?
This is it. And apparently, like, if they go back through all the various different boyfriends, they all, it's a similar history. It just keeps repeating itself that they come out of relationships.
Well,
and suddenly,
at a certain point now, I'd be all for, like, you know, backing up the woman and all this and the fellas that were attached. But at a certain point as well, you have to go, ah, here. Do you know,
well, they were
get
kind of
your own
saying she
fella,
just
like.
does it for sport. Like, she obviously has a bit of it. This is what the internet is saying, that she has a bit of a self-esteem issue. And so she clearly, it's very, she gets a boost or an ego boost or whatever it is to be able to steal another woman's man. This is,
Oh, for God's sake.
the internet theory. Because what they said will happen here is this guy, Ethan, has just messed up his whole life, because she'll move on from this, because she's beautiful Ariana Grande, the pop star with the huge fan base.
To no one will
She'll
remember Ethan. So he's after
no,
fucking his marriage and
that's
everything
what
is
they said.
gone. Yeah,
That
his
he's got a
career.
10-year relationship,
Yeah.
a wife, a kid. It'll all be gone to ruins. And in about 3 or 4 months, she'll be like, bye, Ethan. And she's just going to move on. And his life is in tatters. So they reckon she'll move on from it because she's so cool and she has such a huge following. He has absolutely destroyed the only
Yeah.
real relationship he's ever had. And for what? Like, just, and then she'll just, because this seems to be how she kind of gets her kicks, that she'll find another one and another one and another one. And they were saying, like, because I was really digging deep on this before we start chatting, in some of her music videos, like, apparently she does always have like a little clue in the video where even when she has an ex, she's like, I could, I still could though, or whatever. So she's letting the new partner know, by the way, don't get too comfortable, because if I wanted him back, I could have him back. Like, apparently she puts these little veiled kind of digs into
Is
her
she a
videos.
bit full of herself now?
I never knew this about the young one at all, but no, she's not such a nice,
I wonder,
you know.
like, does fame and money and all this just, like, she obviously thinks, no, fucking look at me, I'm absolutely unreal, like, with my high ponytail. Like,
You would wonder, right? There's a lot has to be said for the rare and that goes into somebody, okay? Because I
yeah.
look at the Kardashians, for example. Beautiful, beautiful girls, incredibly successful empires under their they've businesses, they've merchandise, they've successful TV shows, and yet every single one of them has the poorest taste and the poorest judgment when it comes to men. They
Yeah.
repeat choose men that treat them like absolute shit,
Yeah.
men that will cheat on them. They forgive things they should never forgive, and you're kind of going, wow, isn't it amazing to see these women that for decades now have been like, other women like look up to them and want to look like them and dress like them and mimic, you know, their lifestyle. But in reality, they've made such poor choices. They obviously have low self-esteem in there underneath it
Yeah.
all. I don't know about anybody else, but my mom told me every day of my life there was nobody like me. I was the best thing since sliced bread. And, you know, if I didn't know that, how would I expect anybody else to know that? Like, it was
Yeah.
very important that I knew I was bloody deadly. And every single day I was built up to know how bloody brilliant I was, like, not to settle for less every day. Whereas it seems like there's a group of women and their self-worth is interesting, isn't it? Like, it kind of hinges on various different successes, but not on they themselves. They don't
Yeah.
seem to have confidence in themselves enough that as soon as a fella shows any sign of shady behavior, it should be like, good luck, bye. I don't even need to tolerate this. I don't need to forgive it. I don't need to hear your excuses. It will not be tolerated. Good luck, bye. But you've got these, like, Ariana Grande obviously getting some kind of self-esteem boost by stealing someone else's man and a repetitive cycle of behavior. You have the Kardashians that just go from one car crash of a relationship to another one, despite everything that they have in their favor. They don't seem to have that self-respect and that value in
Then
themselves.
again, does that just go to show you, like, no, I don't believe this for a second, but does it go to show you that even if you have millions, does it buy you happiness? Now, personally, I think absolutely it would, and I'd like to test
it
that
out. But I think you actually need to have a little bit of self-worth, and then that's how it works.
I mean, look at Khloe Kardashian. She is like a different person to what she was 10 years ago. If you look at her, you'd never think.
Yeah.
If you put,
physical
same with Kylie Jenner. If you put pictures of them together, they're not the same person. Like,
no.
And she's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. There was nothing wrong with her before she did any of this transformation, right? But she is stunning. And I actually feel so, so sorry for her, because I think all the poor girl wanted was her own little family, her to have the kids and all. And what she went through with the first husband, like with the drug addict nearly killing himself. And then this fool that she's with now, I don't even know if they're together now or if they're just co-parenting or what they're doing.
Look, he had somebody else pregnant when they'd already gone through with the second surrogacy. Like,
and did he go off with Kylie's best friend and all this? Like,
and she only a young one. Like, but like the humiliation, like to cheat on anybody is awful. But these people are cheating on a stage.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, if you were the partner of any of these girls, you're going to cheat, you're going to get caught. You may as well just do it in front of her, because there's no fear that you're going to get away with it. You were under a microscope.
Yeah.
So they do it knowing full well that they're going to get caught, and they don't care. They don't care. And so it's awful. Like, they don't have respect for the girls that they're with, like, or even any fear of getting caught out in a web of lies, because you really can't be cheating and having affairs when you're in the spotlight like that. Like, so when they do it, they know full well it's only a matter
of time. But it's so embarrassing then, even for Khloe Kardashian. Like she must be like, oh my god, look at what everyone is saying about me, because everyone has gone, oh my god, she's a doormat, she's this, she's that, like, what's she putting up with that for?
You shouldn't be embarrassed that he cheated, but your decisions thereafter, that's where you might want to hold yourself accountable. It's not your fault if he did something bad, but it's your fault if you forgive it and allow it to happen again and again and again.
But it didn't just happen once, like, it's happened numerous times, you know what I mean?
That's it. Like, so I don't know. It's very interesting. But Ariana, that was my little schooling on Ariana Grande today.
And you'd see more, like, I think if you just put that into TikTok as well, Ariana Grande, you'd probably see videos about that. Like, but I mean, God, I didn't know any of that there now about Ariana. Dirty, dirty Ariana. My God. So what about old Tubberty? Is he coming back?
Tubbs, there's a good chance.
Your fella.
Back to RT. I'm delighted. I stood by him every step of the way. I'll offer him a lift into the RT studios now, so I will. Now that he's no car deal.
No car. Oh, God, love him.
But it looks like it now. And it'll be interesting, because obviously there's a few people that maybe spoke out of turn, or maybe spoke a bit too quick, not realizing that he would weather this storm. But it looks as though he will indeed weather this storm, because he actually didn't do anything wrong. And it's RTE that should have been held accountable, which is what I said from the beginning. Somebody sent me a message today asking me, would I pay my TV license? I will. I find RTE exceptional, and the quality of television that they produce to be outstanding. And if they wanted to have myself and Lorna perhaps present a show on RTE, be it the radio airwaves or the television, we would be only too happy to accept, because
One half of us is paying our television license.
Actually, we didn't pay it. We paid it. The man knocked on my door one day, only a few months ago.
Oh, I died. That's never happened to me.
Man. Yeah, and I was like, a full sure that we had paid our license. So I was like, oh, hey. And he was like, you haven't paid your television license. I was like, no, we absolutely have. And I was dead serious. I was like, no, we did. I can remember your man calling to the door. And he was like, that was almost 3 years ago. And I was like, no, it wasn't. And he said, he was really nice, but he was like, it was. And to be fair to you, he was like, it seems like the COVID years, like, have absolutely screwed with people's memories. Because in my brain, I wasn't lying when I said, I remember the man coming to the door. I remember going, must get that sorted. I remember getting it sorted in the post office. And so when he said it was almost.
So did someone come to your door once already to tell you have no license, get it?
Oh, I remember years and years ago, I was living here about a year, and someone knocked on the door, and I was like, sorry, my mom's not in.
Or like, I don't live here at all, I'm only renting. What?
Sorry? I was like, sorry, my mom's not in. And they were like, okay.
I'm the babysitter.
They come here all the time, but there's a lot of houses here that are rented out, actually, because the university is just on the doorstep, so I don't know why they call around here. But yeah, it had been near 3 years. And
when we moved in here first, they send the letter about the television license, and it was just the occupier of blah blah blah, or address, right? So I used to be going, don't put your name on the television. I said, don't put the name on it. They'll never track us down, right? Imagine that. Someone, because we have this Facebook group for the estate, you know, and someone put up that they're the television license inspector in the next estate.
Everybody taking like, the tellies off the wall.
Straight away, I was like, oh, get online quick, quick. Like, I thought they thought I was going to do. Like, then, of course, fool put her name into the television license.
But once you're in, you see.
I mean, yeah. And I listen, I'm a law abiding citizen ever since. I do pay my television license, obviously. But it is something. Would you be paying it now this year after all the scandal? I probably will because I'm a chicken and I just don't
I'm
like having
the same.
Outstanding
I
debt.
Just comply. I'm just,
I just comply. Like, I'm a sheep. Like that.
Like, yeah. I couldn't deal with the stress of being summoned to court. So for that reason, and obviously because I think they're a quality broadcaster. And again, as I said, we are available.
All right there, Audrey.
If you need anyone to go on a panel for anything at all, we're ready.
We're ready and willing. Would you like to tell everyone, you were WhatsApping me there during the week and you were sending me on some of the clothes that you bought. And I was saying, my goodness. And remember I told you that you're going to get a chill in your kidneys from one of the things that you claim you only bought the pants for. This thing now, it was like a top that looked like a pair of fucking, it looked actually like Audrey's headphones. That's what it looked like covering her nips.
Oh yeah, what it was. So when I was clearing out the house this weekend, I came across all my festival gear, which is my most treasured. My proudest collection. It's the only thing I have. I don't really have a hat. And you know, when you pass away, like, and what you leave to people, I have is my festival wardrobe. Like, so I was pulling out all the bits and they're collected over years. Some of them are like proper vintage, proper like 80s and 90s things. I have a jacket there that I can tell you is exactly 2023, is 20 years old. I have so many cool things, but I wanted to add to it because last year when I went to Electric Picnic, I wore this like rainbow cape.
Oh, I remember that. That was unreal. That's on your Instagram somewhere, isn't it?
Showstopper. Yeah. So I was like, what am I going to do this year? Like, how am I going to outdo myself, you know, from last year? So I went on to Nasty Gal. Should be getting sponsored from Nasty Gal. But anyway, if you're looking for actual good quality sparkly clothing, I will recommend Nasty Gal. They're not cheap. Well, they're not cheap. They're not cheap by comparison to like Boohoo or stuff like that. But the stuff is good. The stuff is really good. And I won't tell you how much I spent. But I did buy myself 4 things. And I think one of them will be going back. But I got like pink glittery flared trousers with love hearts on them. I got like a crop glittery blazer jacket with tassels. It sounds random. It is random. It's so cool.
Look cool though. They did look cool. Like, I saw the pants and they do look cool. Like, you wouldn't be wearing them now going to mass or anything, like, but they're fairly cool.
But this is the thing. I do keep my festival wardrobe up well, and I do get the use out of these things. I got ombre blue into dusty pink ombre cargos. And I got the wildest ones, which I don't think are going to fit me. And as soon as I hit buy, I was like, why did you buy it in that size? That was your delusional brain. But I got these like high-waisted white with like a cool green, pink, black kind of pattern on them. Oh, are so deadly. Hopefully they'll arrive tomorrow. But I have all that. And what I don't have is a ticket to Electric Picnic. I put the cart before the horse. But I tell you, you know the way we spoke about visualization and manifestation and all that kind of stuff. Back in 2015, I had not got a pot to piddle in and I really wanted to go to Electric Picnic. And I remember like, oh, I'm just going to enter all the competitions. I'm going to get there somehow. I'm going to go. And we were in a home store more and they had reduced all the camping stuff. And I think the sleeping bags were like down to a tenner or something. So I went and I bought a sleeping bag and I bought something else. And Mom was like, what's that for? And I was like, it's for Electric Picnic. Mom said, did you get a ticket? Mom, it's for Electric Picnic. I will be using this at Electric Picnic. I'm going. And I think 2 days later, we won the tickets. Yeah. So, yeah, now I like to do something like that all the time. Like, I like to kind of buy
But
something.
You're very lucky, though, aren't like, you? With competitions and things like that. You are very lucky.
I would be lucky. Now, never, like, I've never won the lottery. I've never won big. But I'd be very lucky in a draw or a raffle or something like that.
And when is Electric Picnic?
It's on the 1st of September. Yep, 1st to the 3rd of September.
Long, so have you entered a few competitions?
I tell you, I enter the Aldi one religiously. Aldi, I go and I do my shopping with you. I have my mum doing the shopping with you. I get my receipt. I take a picture. I upload it. I get my mum's receipt. Sometimes I get my sister to go buy all the dog food in Aldi just so I have a third receipt. And I get the third receipt and I upload it.
I should have shares in Aldi. I'm in Aldi every second day. I live there.
I need to get you to start taking pictures of your receipts, but they've not. See, you're in Cork, I'm in Dublin. So when you take a picture of the receipt, like, it knows, are you a Dublin entrant or a Cork entrant?
So why can't I win them and give them to you?
Well, I mean, I'm all for that, Lauren.
Well, I'm not going to go to the festival. I'll try to be in bed by 7:30. I'm like your man. So I'll give the tickets to you. What do? You just get you. Well, so what's the story with Aldi? I didn't even know they do it.
Right. So if you spend €25 or more in Aldi, and I think it's not to include alcohol, I believe. So €25 or more, take a picture of your receipt and you go to aldifest.ie. Aldifest.ie.
Oh, Audrey. Huh? I will do that for you every day.
Will you?
If not every
second
day.
That's all you have to do.
And if I win those tickets, I will get them to you.
It's aldifest.ie.
Hello, Aldi, if you're listening, actually. Two dedicated customers here. I'm there every second day. I'm an avid special offer aisle buyer. I am a Christmas club saver. So if you would like to give us two tickets to Electric Picnic, I can't go because I'll be in bed, but Audrey will go and
I
she will
go. I will be your brand
the
ambassador.
The Aldi logo lit up on the back of her cape. And she'll be your brand ambassador. Well, if I saw you in Electric Picnic with a big cape with Aldi along
with... Oh my God, because you know what I'm doing? Oh, here, now you've given me a whole new idea, because what I have is like the sequins hoodie and I'm after ordering these sequins wings from Shane and I'm going to stitch them onto the back of my hoodie and then I'm going to stitch these little like lights in, so and I'll have the battery pack in my hood and when you click it on my wings are going to light up in the evening. Okay,
Audrey, you're off your choke, you know that.
So now I'm just thinking what I could do is get like a big Aldi cape and stitch the lights into the Aldi, and then that evening Aldi,
like, have you seen the clothes and stuff in Aldi? They actually now have Aldi shoes. Lidl have them as well. All the places are doing it now. Like,
we don't mention the other crowd, right?
No, sorry. I have to go back and edit that there. We didn't even say that. Ignore that.
I would do that for Aldi. I would quite happily wear a super Aldi cape and I would like light that up for you.
And there you go now. Manifest that now into a reality.
I am gone a bit festival mad. Actually, me and Dave are going to wet our festival whistles.
Wet our festival whistles.
A little wetting of the festival whistles at the Manor. Smash Hits are playing ABBA-esque and Queen, I think, this Friday. So Dave only got the tickets today. So that'll be a little taster. And tell you now, from Friday, I will be festival mad. So
brilliant.
I really, really want to go. I love Electric Picnic. I really love it. I'd love to go. You would love it far more than I think you would. I know the camping bit would not be for you, I understand. Yeah. But the exploring, oh my God, the time and the effort that must go into setting up Electric Picnic is unreal.
I love
the camper van sites, mm-hmm. not like the camper vans that you stay in. There's like a little, like, pretend camper vans. And
are you going to camp up there? Are you going to stay there, like, or what?
That's a good question. It's a while since we stayed. Well, 2019 obviously was the last Electric Picnic before COVID. And then last year we only had Sunday tickets. So I think I'm out of practice with the camp, and I don't know how I'd fare with camping now because we've had that bit of a break.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But even when I do camp, I must show you pictures. Even when I do camp, I always bring like all my fairy lights and like I decorate the tent. And I always have like a little flagpole up the top and I decorate it all lights so that you can see where your tent is. Like,
that's brilliant.
I come back like so. I love it. I love Electric Picnic so much. I did tell you that my bucket list goal 1 year is to go to Glastonbury.
Yeah.
So Electric Picnic is scratching that itch for me at the moment.
Get to Electric Picnic first and then we'll work on Glastonbury.
Yeah, true.
And I will be sending all my receipts. I'll be entering all the competitions for you. And hopefully, when's it on? 1st of September? Hopefully, now you'll
1st of September, yeah.
You get tickets for it.
I will. I will be there somehow. Somehow, I will get there.
Positive thinking. Listen, Aussie Jesus. Do you watch Aussie Jesus on Instagram?
Speaking of Aussie Jesus and speaking of all that other stuff, the 8th of August was Lions portal gate or something opens. Apparently, look, now is a good time to be listing all your intentions for the next year. So if you had like...
To the
universe. It's
literally... To the universe! The universe
has opened up the phone lines. It's waiting on you to make a call. You just need to list three things that you, by this time next year, that you hope to have achieved. So whatever that is, career progression, new home, whatever it might be, running a marathon, even the mini marathon, you could do it. You could do a 10K. You'd walk it, no problem.
Three wishes. Do you think one of them is going to be to run a marathon?
It might be to be Wait. Fit enough to walk a marathon. No. I'd love to be fit enough to. No. Well, I've done the mini marathon. What would yours be?
Give my wishes now for. By well, seeing of the traumatic weekend I've had, to be eat greasy food without fucking nearly fucking dying. Honestly, though, my three wishes would be money. I'll be to go okay, completely honest. Yeah, to be financially stable where I don't have to work because I don't want to work. I want to be at home with my child. If we're talking big goals now,
yeah,
I'd
go
like
big.
Oh, go big. I'd love a new house, like a detached house in the middle of a field with cows around me. Don't want to be a farmer, no, I just want the animals around me now. Like Mrs. Hinch's house. That's what I would love. That's my bucket list, right?
Okay, great.
So I just need to get a sugar daddy or something. What was my first one? So money, the house.
Financially stable, the house.
And genuinely, if just like for my little family to be like happy and healthy. That's corny, no, I know, like, but still genuinely
no,
I would.
No.
Yeah, because health is very important. So yeah, that's it. I don't want much, like.
That's reasonable. And you just need to put that out there into the universe and see it and keep seeing it.
Who am I asking? Just the universe, is it?
The universe.
The universe. I want Mrs. Hinch's house, right? I want her fucking flutes and her hens.
Sitting here drawing pictures of me at a festival and sticking them up on the board.
And I draw pictures of me there milking cows. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, what are your three wishes?
My three for this time next year.
Well, this time next year? I'll never have them for next year.
See that. You got to. It doesn't matter. You just need to put it out there and you'd be working towards it.
Okay.
So for this time next year, I would like to either have completed my family or be on the way to completing the family. I'd love to be there, like for Hugh to be a big brother or about to become a big brother, hopefully. I would like some career progression, but that could be in or out of the workplace. Like I'm happy, I'm ready to kind of take on projects and kind of some little freelancy bits. And then the third one, I definitely like yourself, just everybody should be calm, happy, healthy, well, safe, content. That's the other one. Yeah.
You know now what's going to happen.
All
next year, we're going to be at Electric Picnic.
And a wellness tent.
And I was going to say a rave, but you're like, and a wellness tent.
Having a wellness rave.
Namaste. That's us, yeah. Can you imagine it? Oh my God.
I can't imagine it. Like,
Although, Audrey, there are fucking podcasts and all going to Electric Picnic.
There's podcast tent. We could be in there. And I think that gives you a scourge ticket then for the rest of the weekend.
I hear. Universe, sort that out. All right, well, universe, we have to go there now because we're dead late. But so look, so everyone else, tell them what it is again. The what?
The Lion's Gate portal.
Okay.
All right. Look, I'm not the expert, but the Lion's Gate portal is open. So go set your intentions.
And is it just for today, Audrey? The 8th, because this
24
podcast,
hours.
Right, because the podcast isn't coming out until the 9th.
And everybody better listen to it on the 9th. But if you're listening on the 10th, hard luck, you'll have to wait till next
Do you know
year.
What? Yeah, and don't forget to be getting on to us saying we didn't
and
warn
you. Know
me.
What? It's your own bloody fault because you know when the podcast comes out.
Exactly.
You should be listening to it sooner.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Audrey. Do you know what? So listen, anyway, on that note, we're not giving out to you. We'd just like to say thank you very much for listening to the podcast.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support. And everyone, scan your Aldi receipts. Get Audrey to Electric Picnics just so we can
AldiFest.ie.
AldiFest.ie. Let her think it was the universe, but really it was us, right? But anyway, thanks for listening. And as always, if you could go over and you can contact us through Instagram, Ola the Podcast is our page, or you can contact us at olathepodcast@gmail.com. And again, if you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss, you can get on and contact us as well. And maybe give us a like and a review on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. So we'll talk to you so next week, and thanks again for listening.
Slán.
Slán. Slán gafel. Over now, Slán agus banacht.